Welcome back, scumbag.
And welcome to another episode of
From Below the Level.
I'm your host, Moshi.
I'm Patrizio. Moshi, I'm so excited to be reunited after so long. It's been a couple of weeks, and in that time, I did write you a poem.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Can I spock?
Do you think?
What makes a star is not hubris, it's true, but kindness and talent shining through. It's not about ego or self-centered pride, but the way one uplifts others side by side. A star is made of talent, a gift to behold, a skill that captivates, a story to be told. They share their craft with passion and grace, inspiring others to find their own space. A star is made of generosity and care. They give without expecting anything to share. Their selflessness touches hearts far and wide, leaving a lasting impact, a ripple worldwide. So let us remember, as we each come from afar, that what makes the star is not hubris, but who we are. Kindness and talent woven together in art. For we together as a group create a constellation that lights up people's hearts.
You know, the whole time Adriana was saying that, I thought she was saying talons, and then I realized she was saying talent. Hubris. Well, in case you can't tell, we are very excited to be talking about the Real Housewives of Miami reunion, and we're going to do a whole catch-up on it. But I think it is important that we do address the elephant in the room, which is the fact that this podcast has not been on for several weeks. And I think it's time I let the listeners know. I mean, you guys have been rocking with us for 3 years now. You've trusted us, but we have been moonlighting on the side. I can't go into all the details, but what I can say is that we are looking for someone who has gone missing. And the firm is on our tails. We're pretty close to finding her. But I mean, that's all I can say at this time. But we've been on a secret mission. We were seconded. If anyone can find her, it's us. So on that note.
Signed by Marisol's liver. Marshy, girl, don't even like pretend. Okay, we all know where she is. She's filming the new season of Real Housewives of Orange County.
Allegedly. We cannot say. The great thing about being connected to H&On is that they are part of all the Anon universes. And so, you know, when you need to get the job done right, you bring in the big guns. And all we can say is that soon all will be revealed.
That's the word on the cobblestone.
That is the word on the cobblestones. But what is the word on the street? The people have missed it, Patty. What's the tea?
Oh, my God. Okay. There's, like, been so much that's happened purely because...
Or just some of it.
We're going to try and get through, like, the greatest hits.
Okay.
The loudest word on the street.
The last 3 weeks. All right. Shoot.
So I want to start by addressing the fact that Leah McSweeney has sued Andy Cohen and has brought a lot of allegations against him, including that he likes to give his favorite housewives cocaine. And everyone has come out to defend Andy.
And do we have remarks? It sounds like jealousy to me. It sounds like you weren't a favorite. You had to pay for your own cocaine. And so now you're pissed.
I feel like the people who have like come out on like Leah McSweeney's side are truly, yeah, like the jealous like has-beens who like just weren't given another season.
You know what though? It's like, it's a really weird one to me because, I mean, if you've watched the Miami reunions, like all these people do drugs, whether it's prescription drugs, whether it's not prescription drugs, like they're always off their face. Like, you know, you've got your own substance abuse problems, but it just feels like accusing somebody of like sharing cocaine, it's just like not that big a deal to me.
Yeah, it's 2024. Grow up, Leah McSweeney.
Yeah, like I just have a healthier attitude to people who take drugs. Like as from all the things that I can see, Andy's just living his life. He does some questionable, he definitely has some questionable behavior, but it's behavior that I feel aligns with my expectations of him as like a middle-aged middle-aged cis gay man. You know what I mean? Like everything kind of aligns. But I just don't think it's enough. Like it's not going to drag his name through the mud. And I'm glad that Andy's like coming back and like defending himself.
I think like in all of this, all I have to say is like justice for Nene Leakes, because I feel like Nene came out with some allegations a few years ago and it didn't get the traction that it perhaps should have. And then you have people like Bethany Frankel and Leah McSweeney who are trying to unionize, they're suing, they're, you know, posting all these allegations against Andy and the network. And it's just sort of like, it's gotten way more attention than Nene's ever did outside of the H&on of it all.
Oh, 100%. But I don't think that the attention that they're getting is good attention, right?
Such thing as bad press, is there? Like, as in,
well, I think there is in this day and age. And I think one of the things that we don't talk about is the fact that, okay, Nene had her allegations and everybody was like, she's a sore loser. Like nobody's like really paying attention to her. But off the back of Nene's allegations, some things were changed because she was really calling out the microaggressions and the racism. And one thing that dawned on me, so Married to Medicine, which is like an adjacent Bravo show, also set in Atlanta, featuring all Black, at the moment, the current cast, are all Black housewives, you know, it's women, it's family sort of thing. And Andy is moderating that reunion as well. And today because I'd been watching these Miami reunions, and we're going to talk about the Miami reunion, but there's so much bickering in the Miami reunions, right? Like the whole time Andy's playing referee, he's defending. There is a moment in the most recent, so it's like the two-part reunion, the second part two reunion for Married to Medicine, where he incites a disagreement between two cast members. And I kind of, it hit me really starkly. I was like, he sat back and like ate a brownie while he watched these two Black women go at each other's throat. He did not try to have them stop. He did not try to break it up. He played off as if it was entertainment. Whereas watching the women on Miami bicker, he had a completely different reaction. And I was kind of watching that and I was like, I don't know if he even realizes some of these biases that he has. Like that might not seem like a big deal, but it is. Like he incited an argument with two Black women. And then when there was two, you know, I mean, the cast of Miami, some of them are women of color. They're not Anglo, but it's like there's a difference. He does, I think, to me, it validated a lot of the stuff that Nene had accused Andy of, with like the microaggressions and the way he positions Black women. And for the first time, I watched the Married to Medicine reunion and I was just like, Andy should not be hosting this reunion. It should be like a Black woman or somebody else. It just actually watching him host this reunion felt icky.
I think we keep saying this. Like, when is Andy going to give up some of the reunions at least? Because I think it even goes beyond like housewives and housewives adjacent. Like, Andy hosted like the traders reunion, and it's and just I messaged like, why?
Straight away. I messaged you straight away and I was like, why is Andy hosting this reunion? Like, I get it that he's the reunion guy, but like for some of it just doesn't make sense.
Well, I don't know. It's been a while since Leah McSweeney's lawsuit dropped, and I feel like it's kind of just disappeared off the headlines.
Countersuing, basically. So, and he has put it out in the media, basically, that she's doing it as a cash grab, a last-ditch effort. It's really interesting to me. I was thinking a lot about the type of personality that it takes, because Leah is so divisive. Even just on the show, she was divisive. Like, I felt like Bravo gave her a lot of opportunities, like even having her on Ultimate Girls Trip. And she really is one of those people that I can't tell if it's she just doesn't know how to get out of her own way, or if generally just she likes to live a woe is me existence. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think it's a bit of woe is me, because it's funny. One of the like the things I had seen online was somebody had posted this clip of her on the Ultimate Girls Trip, and because she is not drinking on that trip, there's like a group scene where she's like, "Can someone order shots? Because you guys just need to get drunk. Like, I'm sick of like, you know, you're bickering and all the rest of it." So yeah, it's like, you know, how can you on one hand be accusing the network of trying to get everyone drunk to cause, you know, problems and all the rest of it, and there was no controls around the amount of alcohol people consuming and all the rest of it, when you are complicit in a way by, you know, perpetuating the same behavior of your own accord?
Well, I think 100% that's the thing about Leah, is that so one of the things that could be really endearing of Leah is her problematic nature, just in the sense that I think she, her intentions, I think, are often good and they just don't work out. But I do think, like, I don't know, it's so hard because there's obviously, she obviously feels really hard done by on the one hand. And, you know, people are entitled and justified to feeling however they feel. But at what cost? Because I just don't know. Like, I guess she also is just one of those people that's like, I'm not here to play the game. I play by my own rules. And for that, I'm like, you know, good for you. Like, those are the aspects that make her so relatable and perhaps really compelling, especially on television and as a businesswoman and as somebody to admire and follow. But then on the other hand, there would, it just seems like there were opportunities where we could have got more of that. And she sort of went in a different direction. I mean, I think she is quite problematic. And I don't know if you saw this article as well, but somebody was, I know you're not a big Heather Holler Thompson fan. Ugh. Yeah, oh, exactly. Like, rolled your eyes. But I have always loved Heather. I think, yes, she's fucking annoying, but I think she is a truth teller. For lack of a better word, she doesn't talk shit. And I think when she called out Leah in that one time she was there in that season, I think she was right.
Well, apparently, I think if it's the article that I'm thinking of, she was talking about how also she was going to bring back our favourite New York housewife.
Cindy Barshop.
Cindy Barshit. No, the leg that changed the world.
Not Aviva, not the leg that changed the world.
Yes. So in the finals, like, you know, legacy season of New York, she was going to bring back Aviva.
Who's bringing back Aviva?
Oh, Heather Holler Thompson. Oh, yeah. Bring her back.
I was going to say not Leah, but yeah, Heather bringing back Aviva 100%.
And it was all set up, ready to go. But then Leah's behavior towards Heather, which was what caused Heather to be like, I'm out of filming and I'm taking Aviva with me.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Well, speaking of women that we do admire, you're like, where's he going? Which group of women is it going to be? The women of Salt Lake City. I think we got confirmation. Well, you know, the word on the street is that Mary has got a full-time contract for the new season. She went to the cast trip that they filmed in Milwaukee. Which is exciting, but the word on the street in Salt Lake City is that Lisa Barlow and Whitney are feuding because Whitney alleges that Lisa buys Costco tequila and puts the Vita tequila label on it. And she exposes this secret on the new season. And Lisa is going to be suing Whitney.
Cannot wait. That's the sort of shit I want. It's exactly who I expect. You know, and you know that Whitney got some like third rate down the line goss from somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody's uncle. And she's like, once again, the worst bone collector. And this is, if you're going to be a shit bone collector, I want you getting sued. Like, this is exactly what I live for.
But I am going to throw it out to listeners. If you live near a Costco and you can get your hands on a Kirkland's tequila and you can also get your hands on a Vita tequila, I'd love to hear the taste comparison.
So here's some tea for you. There is another brand called Vita Tequila globally that is not Lisa's Vita Tequila. I have tried, you know, I dabble in the tequils.
Yes.
That's on the agave. I have tried to get Lisa's Vita Tequila, and I cannot get it out of the US. But every time I go looking for Vita Tequila, I get this other Vita Tequila. And I've heard good things about Kirkland's Reposado because it's like actually from Mexico as well. Like, it's fine.
Well, maybe then Lisa's Vita Tequila is great.
But here's the thing. That's not illegal to like white label something. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like clean skins. It's not like Lisa, because I think the thing that's missing is like, it's not like Lisa is actually going to Costco buying all this tequila and then rebottling it. It's all just happening in the same factory or in the same.
But you just know that's what Whitney's going to allege though, right? Like she's just, Lisa in her garage is just pouring Kirkland's tequila into Vita tequila bottles.
That's what John's doing. That's why we don't see him, because she's at Sundance and he's pouring one bit of tequila. No, I think this is the thing where you have to be so accurate with your bone collecting. Because so many brands do this, right? They white label stuff. All the stuff, it all comes from the same processing or manufacturers. Like, that's not illegal. That's not wrong. As long as the tequila is still being made the right way.
Do you think that Vita tequila is double distilled because John is just pouring it into a new bottle?
100%. No, allegedly. interesting.
Real Housewives of Atlanta. Portia is getting divorced, we know this, but her ex, Simon, has already moved on. He has a new influencer girlfriend, allegedly.
I'm obsessed with him. He is so messy. I fucking love it.
Have they? I don't even think they've picked up cameras yet on Atlanta, which is like the worst part of all of this.
100%. But my thing is like, girl, she knew she was getting divorced before she got on the show. I don't know what's going on, but it better play out on camera. I'm obsessed with him, and like, I know I shouldn't be, but because Portia is so messy and does messy things, I feel like she's met her messy match, and that's why I'm here for it.
I think she's been out-messed.
Potentially. I mean, African men. Like, truly.
You can speak on that.
They're a mess.
Speaking of other messes, Orange County, Vicky Gunvalson has apparently been filming since day dot of the new season.
Oh, I heard that she hadn't. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so apparently she's been filming this whole time, which obviously, like, is huge if true.
But she's not filming with, like, Tamara and stuff then, because I've not seen her filming with Tamara. Like, I've seen Tamara filming with Alexis and filming with Heather.
Well, that's the word on the street, Moshi.
Maybe filming. Maybe this is like RuPaul, where there's two groups and they're filming simultaneous, group one, group two, and then they're going to come together at the end and have like a dance battle.
I thought you were going to say it's like RuPaul. Like, I've never seen like boy RuPaul and girl RuPaul in the same room. And I've never seen Vicky Gunvalson and Alexis Bellino in the same room together.
We actually have seen boy RuPaul and girl RuPaul. RuPaul has done that split screen so many times. Like, we've seen it.
Okay. And then I guess with the rest of Word on the Street, there's been some, you know, teasers, some trailers, some seating charts that have been released. So I just want to go through all of them right now. Season 14 of New Jersey, the trailer has dropped. It's starting, I think, the 5th of May. How did you feel watching this trailer? Obviously, you know, the big story of this season, we thought, was going to be the Teresa and Melissa of it all, given that they're not talking to each other, but it truly isn't.
No, I think everybody realized that they need to bring it, and I'm excited.
Zia Teresa's back. I'm excited.
Yeah, and Jackie is like, I want my fucking turnpike back, and she's come to play. Fessler has realized that she was like the queen, and now she's like, I'm going in with the drama. I feel like the producers have told them they all need to step their pussy up. I feel like Teresa is coming undone. Like, I'm here for all of it. Paulie is married, not getting divorced. Like, why can't Dolores just win at love? Like, I'm here. I'm ready.
Has Louis pissed away all of Teresa's money?
Oh, of course he has. Of course he has. And Joe is going to be loving it.
Will Joe Fuda get a turnpike?
Well, Rachel's not getting one.
Then in Dubai, we had a teaser drop with the June air date. I feel like, given all the conversation that was sort of like surrounding Dubai over the last couple of months around like, when's it coming? Why isn't it come out? I mean, it's literally going to be 2 years since like season one wrapped that this one is going to air. Do you think there's a reason why they've dropped a teaser so far out from the start date?
To remind us that it exists.
I feel like it's just not good news. Like, the fact that it is so far away from the last season, that like it's taken this long to air, when we know that there are gaps in the programming, right? Like, at the moment, now that Beverly Hills is wrapped, Potomac is the only like franchise until May.
I think they were waiting for Caroline's face to settle.
But
I'm not even being funny. Like, I think there was so many internal issues. I think they also potentially had issues with filming. I think we have to remember that filming in the United Arab Emirates is so heavily controlled, right? Even when you're watching like Dubai Bling, they film in like three locations. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not just filming willy-nilly everywhere. Everything has to align with tourism. There has to be all these other things inbuilt in it. So I am not surprised that that is the franchise that is taking, that is being drawn out. But the thing that we're also missing is that those franchises are running on their correct schedule. What's fucked up is New York. What's fucked up is Atlanta. You know, like the fact that those haven't been on.
True. Speaking of Potomac,
Potomac, what? You weren't speaking of Potomac.
Well, I mentioned it all, actually. But the seating chart for the reunion got revealed. I know that you're not watching Potomac this season. Have you watched any episodes since we last spoke?
Nope. I'm waiting for all of the reunions to end, and then if I have time, I'll watch it.
Wild. Mia and Karen are in the first seats next to Andy. Mia.
Wow.
Mia is kind of the breakout star of this season.
Well, I mean, she would have to be. Good for Mia.
I think Mia is the future of the franchise.
Giselle is going to be quaking in her boots. Like, Giselle is being punished.
I think this is Giselle's best dressed reunion, which would not be a hard, like, level to beat.
She has to wear something from this century and she's fine. But I'm sorry, like, Giselle not getting that seat. I hope she takes it as a critique and she learns.
Well, I think she's sitting next to Karen.
That's even more interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
And on that as well, Ashley posted this like reel or TikTok, I don't know what it was, kind of like thanking everyone for supporting her this season, talking about how there were things happening in her life that she was unable to discuss on the show. And it kind of felt like a farewell message. So word on the street is Ashley has been demoted slash not being renewed for the new season.
I mean, I don't know enough about this season to know if that's possible, but I just think if Robin can continue to get a Chesapeake River, then so can Ashley.
You have to watch the season, Moshi.
Mm. I don't know if you saw Christian Grey Snow posted some really funny memes about TikTok, because you know they're trying to ban TikTok in the US. And he just posted this one that was like just about like Ashley. Like it was the girl who's doing a TikTok dance and crying, and it's like Ashley doing her last TikTok. And I was just like, yeah, it's very funny.
I did say that. It is pretty good. And of course, the last one I want to discuss with you is our favorite international girlies, the Real Housewives of Cheshire. They've announced two new housewives for this season of Cheshire, in addition to Tanya coming back as a friend of.
Mm.
Word on the street.
One of the girls. Ampika's back as well, right?
No, she's not. So she's back for the
special, which I've seen.
Correct. How did you see that?
It's on Hey You.
Is it? How have I missed this?
I don't know. It's also on Binge.
And so she, so where was I going with this? So
no Ampika.
No Ampika. Tanya is back.
Tanya's back as a friend of. Who's in with that?
Paige is in. She's been promoted to full-time housewife.
Who's Paige?
She was the really annoying one that like was just feuding with like everyone last season. She has the rich, like, I think, like, his, like, Middle Eastern husband who, like, refused to be seen on the TV.
Yeah. Okay, so she's rich, so she's on the show, okay.
And there's a new housewife, Ellie, who has not been on the show.
Is Seema back?
Seema is back. Ugh. Hannah is gone.
Woo!
Ding dong. She's dead.
Yeah, but Seema needs to go next. We need to recast everybody but keep Lauren.
Lauren's too busy in the Big Brother house, although she has been evicted.
I didn't know if you'd noticed that she just got evicted. Sad.
And that other new housewife from like Girls Aloud or whatever, she's gone.
Yeah, fair enough. I think Natasha, she had a real specific reason for being on the show, and I think she achieved it. She's a smart girl.
So, I mean, I was excited to learn that Hannah's gone, and I look forward to an amazing season without her.
I'm happy to watch it. I am going to say the Pride season is a bit disappointing. Like, the first episode is good. There's no need for the second episode.
I believe that.
Mm.
Well, Moshi, that's a roundup of the word on the street.
That's a lot. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking about The Real Housewives of Miami Season 6 reunion catch-up. We haven't forgotten about Beverly Hills. We're going to be doing that one next week.
We're back from the break, Moshi, to discuss The Real Housewives of
Miami. Oh, is that the last time I'm going to be able to say that?
Who can be sure? No, they've been renewed for season 7, so...
I mean, they deserve all of the applause.
It was a 3-part reunion for season 6. There was poetry. There was opera. There was drama. There's so much to dig into, but I think what we'll do is just kind of give our overall thoughts, the big themes, the things we loved, the things we didn't love so much, the points of difference between what makes Miami fire.
Fuego. I don't know if you, I just felt this reunion felt very different than other reunions. And again, it's that point of difference with Miami. Like, there is something very special about it. Like, it very much is a flagship, right? And I was like, the main thing was, like, we started off the episode with a toast. Normally, like, the booze is not until the end, but we started with tequila. We also ended with tequila, but we started with tequila. And then the other thing that just blew my mind is the friends of stayed for the whole thing. That's not happened before, I don't believe.
I feel like what has happened in a season where the friends of are integral is that we are greeted with the holders of whatever franchise they're from, and after the intros the friends of are brought in, and then just before we say our final remarks the friends are exited. But yes, in Miami this season the friends of are out from the beginning and they stay till the very end, which, I mean, it makes sense, right? Because these three women, Kiki, Marisol and Adriana, are just such key figures. They are more than a housewife friend of, but not quite a mojito holder.
Yeah, and I think just to kind of deviate, I want to talk about Kiki maybe just because we are talking about this part of it. So I'm jumping in to part three and just talking about Kiki. I think, like, Andy called out that Kiki just had a phenomenal season. Julia called out that Kiki had a phenomenal season. Like, we started to get beyond the funny quips and, you know, Kiki-isms. And this season, like, Kiki really delivered, you know, the layers of the onion were pulled back. And then on the reunion, she qualified it by really giving us some more insight into her life. And I think we've sort of been, I think everybody's always umming and ahhing, like, you know, we always talk about one of the benefits of being a friend of is you can get away with kind of doing anything and never having to show so much of your life. And I think we had, like, questioned potentially why Kiki doesn't show us her life, because we know, like, she was getting divorced and there was all of these things. But then we learned in the reunion that, like, there's obviously some sort of embarrassment or shame on her part, like, completely unjustified. But it seems that she's really been protecting her family and her lifestyle because she's not as wealthy as these other women. And that is just something that it's rare when we get that honesty, you know?
Yes, there are other women who will no faster put themselves into debt and have to admit that they have no money.
Yeah, they will go to jail rather than admit. They will steal money from elderly people rather than admit that they're not living a specific lifestyle. But for me, it was interesting that we didn't get that on the show so much, but we got it in the reunion.
I think we got, like, I think, you know, you don't like when new information is brought to a reunion, but I think in this situation, it was a continuation of the conversations that were happening in Mexico around, you know, the Kiki versus Lisa of it all. But I guess, you know, it also gives us a bit of insight into perhaps why, you know, she was just a friend of, whether that was something that she chose or something that, you know, had been discussed with production. Because, you know, I mean, even this season, she got her first, like, event that she invited all the women to. Like, perhaps it's a gearing up to, you know, being able to give her a mojito in the next season. Like, who knows?
Well, to me, it reads as she's been offered a mojito and she has said no, because she needs to control, in a good way, her narrative, because she's not ready. Like, we learn, like, that her mum is living with her, that she brought her mum over. Her mum doesn't speak English. Like, I think Kiki is so self-aware or so aware of what a vulnerable position she would be putting her family in as well and herself. And I think it's actually quite smart of her being able to be on the Housewives on her own terms. And it's a testament to just how brilliant she is and that what she brings to the show is so compelling that they're allowing her to kind of, do you know what I mean? It's very rare. I think we've only seen this recently where certain women, friends of, have kind of been given carte blanche to do whatever they want. Like Jen Fessler was one of those, and now Kiki. And I think we spoke about it last year, like the age of the friend of is dawning on us, when like it is possible now to be a friend of and be really fun and be really compelling. And so I almost am like, I think I want Kiki to stay a friend of, if it means that we're going to get her warts and all, because she's not worried about having to protect another part of her life.
So Kiki reveals that she's dating a man, but he lives in LA. So do we think that she is coming back in the sense of like, is she moving to LA? Like, what about this man and all the rest of it?
But in America, especially people who are models, celebrities, they work, live and work in that world, they're all bi-coastal. Larsa is bi-coastal. Like, I think she can make it work. I think they film for like 3 months. I think her work as a swimsuit model is always going to take her between LA and Miami. So I think she'll be fine. I'm sure it sounds to me like the man that she's met is in that world. So I think he'll be okay with her lifestyle.
Okay, so that's the Kiki of it all. I did enjoy as well her really calling out Lisa at the reunion, because it had to be said. And I don't know if Lisa truly got it, but
it'll never fully penetrate Lisa.
Not penetrate.
It's the only word I can think of, because she is so surface, and it's not. You know what it is about Lisa that I'm starting to realize? It's not that she doesn't want to go deeper. She doesn't want to understand it. Like, Lisa is somebody else who has spent so much time creating a version of herself that she does not know how to be vulnerable. I think that's one of the things that we have learned about Lisa, specifically this season, is that, like, she is always one event away from completely breaking. And I think she is doing so much to keep herself together at the moment that, like, there is no capacity for anything else to break through. She's just so, do you know what I mean?
Can I say, though, this is the best Lisa's face has looked in the new editions of Miami.
Her, and I'm just going to say that, I don't know if I said this in a couple, like the last time I did an episode, but Lars's face is the best it's ever looked at this reunion.
Yeah, like the fillers have been dissolved a little.
Everything's just settling in. The hairline is good. Like, yeah, everything is really working for Lisa. She looks really good this season, or at least at the reunion.
I think at the reunion. I think this season she was still a bit swollen in the face. I think it's settled. It's looking good.
Yeah, definitely looking good. I think you mentioned like Lisa being called out, but the real person who was copying it senseless in this episode was Larsa. And I was really curious, as a Larsenist, you know, as somebody who is about that ass, that Lars, how did you feel about the way they were coming for your girl?
Can I just say, it wasn't about the ass. It was about the breasts. The bosoms were bosoming.
Oh, of course. I mean, she's fake.
Allegedly. How did I feel? You know what? The thing that I love the most about Larsa is she is so delusional and so wrapped up in herself that she is unbothered by all of it. And I think that's what really pisses off the other women the most. Like, literally Gertie can be like, you denied my cancer, and Lars is like, okay. And it just, like,
but Lars just says, no, I didn't. Like, she just says she didn't do
it. Because she's in her mind, she truly did it.
Do you want to know something though? See, I think that for the first time, Lars was bothered. Like,
no, I don't think so.
I'm not bothered like the way a normal person will be bothered, but I think like her determination to end on good terms with Alexia, with Gertie, like going in for the hug at the end, all of that stuff. There is definitely something, I think, like she's very much aware of the public persona towards her. And I do think there was a little bit of her that was like, I need to come out of this reunion doing whatever it takes to just be on good terms with all of these women.
I think, no, I just think Larsa is so delusional that she truly thinks that, like, she's done nothing wrong or nothing untoward this whole season that warrants how they feel about her. Larsa's just, like, good vibes. She, you know, her family's in a great place. She's in a great place with Marcus at the time of the reunion. Like, everything is going well for Larsa. And I think she's just, like, she lives on the planet Moon. She's just, yeah. She's not with the rest of us. And in her mind, like, I know that none of us can truly understand it, but in her mind, like, she's all good. And I think, you know, I hate to say it, but I think she got the first seat next to Andy because she is moving things along in Miami. I think that, you know, she is in on the mess. I think she was willing to call out people like her best friend Lisa's behavior. Like, she is doing what needs to be done. And like I said, I think that the other women are truly bothered by that. I think they're bothered to see her in that first seat next to Andy. You know, people like Alexia, who think that they should be sat next to Andy every single season, a la Teresa. And it bothers everyone. And Larsa just doesn't, you can tell that she's disassociating. Like, as the other women are talking, like, she's just sitting there, like, completely just, like, oblivious to everything that's going on around her. Like, I wish I had that. I wish I could just be on the planet Moon with her. And, like, in her mind, she's just skipping with Marcus through, like, grassy fields and, like, I don't know, thinking about how many times she's gonna have sex that night. Like, I love that for her, but I think she is a personification, I think, of Miami delusion.
100%. A couple of things that I thought were really interesting is on that delusion, I think you need to have a partner who is happy to enable your deluluness. Like, the Marcus that I saw in The Traitors is not the same Marcus that I saw at this reunion. And I think we were led to believe that he was going to be even, like, we were going to catch him out being even nastier. And he was fine.
Marcus needs to stay out of women's business.
Well, I mean, when he did say that he wished that he was out on that chair and he had something to say, I was like, okay. But I kind of understand it, though.
Are you Marcus or are you Marsha? You know what I mean? Just stay out of women's business.
You know what, though? I agree with you normally, but Miami is a different beast. And these women bring other people's partners into the mess all the time. And so I do think that when it's sort of like New Jersey, I do think that if you are bringing the partners into the mess, then, you know, you have to be part of, you have to kind of let them defend themselves.
But I don't need Marcus and Jody in the green room giving their commentary throughout the reunion. Like, I'm sorry, it's not about you.
That's a Bravo thing. Bravo didn't need, and I think we both watched the extended versions, right?
I don't know what I watch. I watch whatever's on the TVs.
Yeah. So at the moment, if you're watching it on HeyU, you're watching extended versions, not the original versions that would have gone out on Peacock and or on Bravo.
Yeah, the uncensored, unfiltered extended version.
Yeah, but I mean, let's talk about, like, one of the big themes in the reunion was lying and this concept of who is a liar, who is a truth teller. And one of the things that I do love about Larsa, not so much like just when she's like doubling down on things, but then when she gets so defensive, and I really love that Gertie called out her tit for tatness. So I love that, like, within the first 9 minutes of the episode, she had told all the women they were dry. I was like, no other franchise would this happen.
Well, they're wet from the tequila. Like, the lines are coming out.
Imagine with the straight face when people are telling you that they don't believe that you have sex five times a night, you say, well, maybe you're dry. Like, I'm sorry. It's such a, like, It's such a great comeback. I can't describe it. It is like, it's the comeback that you say, not in polite society. It's a comeback that you think of in your head. And it's the fact that Larsa, like, I am not a Larsenist, but when Larsa does shit like this, I love it. I love it so much.
This is why Larsa is so good, because she's just living somewhere else. She's saying whatever the fuck she wants. And she says it like, you know, she's serious when she says it too.
That's what I mean. She says it, well, maybe you're all dry. And the way it gets all their backs up, instead of them just laughing it off, because if she said something like that to me, I would just piss myself laughing. Like, I wouldn't be able to take her seriously.
Because they're bothered. Like, Larsa could have called them all, like, something, anything on that reunion, and they would have been like, rah, like, don't come for the queen, okay? The crown is exactly where That's it needs to be.
Okay, so who is a liar and who is a truth teller in Miami?
They're all liars. They're frauds, they're phonies, they're liars. I think the thing with Larsa calling out Alexia is one to just throw out these accusations, but when it comes down to, like, well, actually say who are the liars, she's not willingly to go all the way. Like, Alexia, because I think as well,
But I think the shock was this time that Alexia did call out who all the liars.
After Larsa calls her to say it like 12 times, like...
100%. But I think I think there was a lot in this. Like, this reunion was a real culmination of things that have happened over the last three seasons, right? And it was this thing that, like Gertie even talks about the fact that she had an agenda, and her agenda was to hold Larsa accountable. Like, this was, you know, the themes were lying, truth-telling, and feuds. Like, the fact that Andy had to start the show with a toast that was about a healing journey, like, right from the beginning. He knew that all of these women were at each other's throats for whatever reason, and he wanted them to come out, like, cool, calm, and collected at the end. Like, I don't think I even realized just how many feuds there had been, because they all sort of didn't all happen at once on the show, right? They sort of all happened in succession. But, like, when you think about it, at one point, like, they all hated each other. You know,
so you brought up Gertie and you said how she wants her goal for the reunion is to hold Larsa accountable. My issue with Gertie in this reunion is, well, since you brought it up, I think she could have come with like a fresh shave. I don't think
the shave was fresh.
No, like, she needed, like, full, like, skin, like...
Well, she's still getting used to it. You know, that's her look now forever. She has gone, it's on page 6, she's leaning into the baldness for life.
I support that, but I think you have to, like, you have to razor that shit, like, every day. Like,
You don't want to see a little microscope of hair.
No, if you're going to be bald, I want you to be bald.
Fair enough. You know what? You're entitled.
Right. So I think my thing with Gertie is somebody told her she's getting the first chair next to Andy, and she took it upon herself to become this character of, like, I don't know, Mother Teresa, that she was somehow going to be holding everyone accountable, that she was going to speak on it all, that she was going to, you know, back, you know, her crew and all the rest of it. And I'm like, girl, you've spent the last two seasons floundering at the end of the couch. You've had nothing to contribute in those last two seasons. Unfortunately, this terrible health thing happened to you, and it's given you, you know, a new angle on the show, which is an awful thing to just, like, even ponder about. But, like, unfortunately, as a viewer, I don't care enough about Gertie for her to now be my North Star in accountability and holding women accountable, right? I'm like, who are you? Go back to the end of the couch, shut the fuck up, and, like, just leave us all alone, right? Because it's a weird dynamic to bring. But I think she felt empowered by having that seat next to Andy, that she could be the one, you know, calling the shots and giving the faces and, you know, calling out Larsa and all the rest of it. But it's like, girl, look who's sitting opposite you. it's fucking Lassa Pippen. Like, did you win? I don't think you won, you know. I will say, just on a tidbit and aside, in the three seasons of the new age of Miami, every single cast member has sat next to Andy.
Yeah.
Which is also very interesting.
Oh, every mojito holder, yes.
Yes. So, like, you know, it was Alexia and Julia in the first season. It was Nicole and Lisa in the second. Yeah. And now it's Lassa and Gertie. So we've now done a full sweep of everyone sitting next to Andy.
And that is, again, a point of difference. This franchise is all, this is, I mean, part of the characteristics of Miami, is that for the most part, all these women, it is a full ensemble. They work really well as a group, even when they are not vibing. And, you know, somebody else will always do what needs to be done. In this instance, it really was Lassa this season. But I really just want to, like, plus one, upvote everything you just sort of said about Gertie. But the thing for me is that what we're seeing from Gertie is who she has always been on this show. I don't think... I understand that she's been emboldened and empowered to be kind of this North Star for, you know, holding people accountable. But this is also the thing that makes her not fun on the show, is that she does try to police the way people act and the things that they say. And in the last couple of seasons, she just hasn't been on the show enough. But that is her whole personality, right? It is this thing of... not superiority, but like coming from a place where, you know, her and Russell. And I do think that it, one of the aspects of Gertie that is really beautiful, and it's something that we don't see enough on Housewives, is like her and Russell have been together for 30 years. Like, it's actually.
I think she uses that, right? She's like, I'm better than because. Correct. Yeah.
No, no. And so I 100% agree with you on that. But I do think it's such a shame that she does use it in that way, because if she didn't, it would be far more compelling.
Yeah, agreed.
The other kind of like point of difference that played into all of the feuding and the lies and the BS is all the behind the scenes stuff that we got, all the access to people that we got during the breaks and all the stuff that happened during the breaks. Like, I don't think we've gotten these sorts of tidbits before on this level.
Because Alexia is the queen of the lunch break behind the scenes. Like, don't put the cameras down because I'm about to go and confront whoever I'm feuding. She did it last season when she goes in and apologizes to Julia and then starts on Adriana because they're sharing a dressing room. She's done it again with Lassa this season. Alexia is just like, you know what? Keep the cameras rolling because I'm not done yet. And I fucking love that for her because normally what they do, right, is they all go back to their trailers or the green room, wherever they are, right? But Alexia likes to roam. She likes to go and continue to stir trouble. And yeah, I think it's fantastic. She truly is the queen of the behind the scenes.
But I think it was really interesting that in her attempt to, but other people are now picking up the baton, right? Because we see Julia, like, so only with Alexia, she initially does it with Lassa. And this is like in the first part of the reunion and they're still fighting by the end. Like, it never gets resolved. It actually just ends up being a bigger fight. But then, like, we see Julia then take on the same mantle, you know, and she goes and finds Lisa. And then they have this like super intimate conversation. My favorite thing is Nicole trying to coach Julia on how to apologize without apologizing is also very funny. Like the dynamic, like Nicole understands the dynamic of all of these women so well and just how to play them, you know?
I think Nicole plays, or at least in this reunion, she was kind of the voice of reason. And I think it's also kind of because she's pregnant.
She's been the voice of reason. That's why she got the chair last year. Like, she's the most pragmatic, normal person out of all of these women.
She's got three brain cells. The rest of them have got two. Like,
she is an anesthesiologist. So we would want, you know, those brain cells in there.
And yeah, I just think the thing with Miami is like the dynamics just keep changing, right? Because she's the voice of reason and Julia is kind of like the pot stirrer, the one that's moving things forward as well. Like Julia wasn't afraid to get in on the mess. I love that Julia is also not willing to apologize just for the sake of an apology as well. You know, she has a bit of conviction in sort of like her beliefs, which I think is good as well, because, and I think, you know, we know we're talking about Beverly Hills next week, but I think Garcelle's got a bit of that as well, where it's sort of like, well, that's what I think. That's how I feel. I'm not going to apologize for that. And I think Julia's kind of got a bit of that energy as well.
I think what's really interesting about Julia, like, I think she had a great season this season. And I think like with like the first season, I wasn't really vibing with her, but starting to see her come out of her shell and just to see the way she reads situations. I think the thing about her friendships are actually genuine. The friendships she has with people are real friendships. And so, you know, she can hold somebody like Adriana accountable in a weird way and they're still cool with it at the end. And I think she was able to develop a friendship with Alexia, and her and Marisol were able to get over their issues, because I think that Julia gets it. Like she says stuff to people that is very blunt, very cutting, but I think she says it in a way that just makes a lot of sense. You know what I mean? And she's, the benefit of her is that she can be a voice of reason, but she's still quirky. And her quirkiness factor is like the thing that is because we need our housewives to be a bit loopy. They can't all be straight edge. You know, we've got Nicole is the straight one, but then she's got this interesting life. So if you're going to also be straight, you have to have a quirk. And because, you know, Julia is so quirky, like even just her at Dolce & Gabbana ugly outfit that she showed up with at the reunion.
Like, awful.
It was hideous. But that's why, like, she's allowed to, you know, be pragmatic and make sense from time to time. One feud that I just... Adriana, okay? I love her. She's hilarious. But she was fucking doing too many stunts.
The hubris.
With too much hubris in every part. And the way she hates Marisol. Like, I really, really, really want to know what Marisol did to her. Like, the way she hates Marisol, like, the grudge that she has for Marisol, it's like it's her one thing. Marisol just has to breathe and Adriana cuts her down. Like, I can tell even Marisol is at the point where she just does not understand why Adriana hates her so much. I don't understand it either.
I actually thought at a certain point D Hubris was like the new housewife on Miami.
Adriana likes to hate herself, so you know.
I have a prediction for you, Moshi. I have a H-Norm premonition coming on.
I want to know what are the angels telling you?
Next season, Adriana, Larsa, and Marisol, the Tres Amigas.
No!
Because they all have now a common enemy, Alexia.
Let's not. Okay, you want to talk about this now? But fucking Adriana was like kissing Alexia's ass in this episode.
Yeah, she's kissing her ass, but like Adriana will take Alexia down if she has to. Like Adriana has loyalty to no one. Like I don't even think she has loyalty to Julia, to be honest. Julia did her dirty and she was like, fuck you, bitch. Like I truly believe that in the final moments of this reunion where Marisol calls out Alexia for, you know, because Alexia finally sort of says who's a liar and who's a truth teller. And then when she goes to Marisol, she's like, well, she doesn't remember, right?
And did she lie? That was, can I tell you, I was like, maybe Alexia is a truth teller.
But even if it's not, a lie, like, that's her bro. Like, you're not meant to do that to your bro. on the reunion couch in front of Marisol's enemies, Adriana and Larsa, right? So that's why in my mind, I'm like, the ground is shaky. And I think it had already been shaky because remember, they filled Ultimate Girls Trip 3 together and they kind of like didn't come out of that the best of terms.
But they've got the podcast and they've already both turned on Larsa with the Marcus stuff that happened post-reunion. That's the only reason why I think the bros are still together.
Can you just let me have my wild, you know, hope that the three girls just turn on Alexia next season? Because I think it could have the greatest diplomatic ramifications in the world of Housewives.
I mean, I can see it. Like, I think it would be fucking brilliant to watch, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
I just think that there's going to come a point, though, that at least Adriana and Alexia or Adriana and Marisol have some kind of come to Jesus moment and things are repaired there. Because I just have this feeling.
No, I mean, you know, you need to listen to your loins and what they're telling you.
I have a feeling.
You have a feeling, like a feeling journey?
Like, not the feeling journey, the healing journey. The
healing journey.
I have a feeling that there's a healing journey going to happen with these women.
Oh, 100%.
What's that saying? Your enemy's enemy is your friend, Moshi. And,
I mean, this is why we're friends.
Correct.
You're aware of it. So obviously, Nicole, you mentioned that she's not drinking because she's pregnant, so she's on the apple juice. But I was so glad that we did get the moment to talk about Miguel and that he was honored. And it was really lovely to hear the full extent, which is that they had really resolved everything by the end. She knew that he was going to die, so she was able to be there with him. But then, you know, the truth came out about his girlfriend, which I think we all suspected on some level.
I kind of hate it as well because I truly was hoping again next season, like the former mother-in-law has moved in with Nicole, like they're looking after her, she's part of their lives. But no, she did what, you know, what we expect these, you know, young, busty women of Miami to do, right?
But here is the thing, Patrizio. Now she has an angle. Now she has a way. The thing is that Nicole is so sometimes being so pragmatic can work against you. So all this woman from Miami needs, I mean, like America is so litigious. Who knows? Maybe she will sue. Especially now that the episode has aired, some lawyer will try to find her and say, hey, I can help you get your money off Nicole and the siblings. And now we know that there are secret siblings out there as well. Like, it's all going to come out of the woodwork. And I want to know, like, where was Miguel getting his money from in the end? Was he still a criminal? Like, what is happening? This is where I'm like, she says too much on the show. We know too much.
I think if you believe that you are one of Miguel's secret children, please come forward. We'd love to do a tell-all podcast episode with you.
No, I mean, that's kind of scary, actually.
Is there anything else, Moshi?
I think it was interesting to know, I think a lot of stuff that has happened sort of that was filmed that wasn't shown. So I think there were some things that were interesting to me, like knowing that Larsa and Marcus at this point were looking to move, like the condo had been sold, hearing that Lisa had finally moved out of that house and that leaving that house, she realized all of that stuff. But like what they did to her mom and her aunt, like Lenny doing that stuff to them, horrendous. I definitely want to see more of her mom and aunt next season. I thought it was also interesting, Lisa just calling out like how much her children know about what's going on. And like her son is obviously so incredibly smart and Logan just like picking up on all of the bullshit that they're going through. Like sometimes I really like, I know it's not newish information, it's an extension and I don't mind extensions of the story. I want to know where you are at that moment because so much time has passed. So it's kind of made me excited for next season. I thought, you know, again, the pragmatic one, Nicole, was able to kind of sum up what everybody's next steps are.
I think the thing with, like, kids these days is, like, you get an iPhone now when you turn 3 and all you have to do is type in your parents' name into Google and it's all going to come up, right? So, Logan, like, I'm sure, like, you know, another thing is I think we think, oh, the kids don't know what's going on, and kids do pick up on things. No matter how old they are. Correct.
I think it's actually more that than like seeing stuff on the internet. I think we're at a point now where we all, like, if you still don't comprehend that children are sponges and they see fucking everything, then you're not going to survive in this world because the kids will fuck you up. But I think it's more he's just smart. He knows what's going on in the house. Like less internet.
I thought it was funny that, you know, when Nicole is kind of giving everyone like they're like, you know, this is sort of like where you're at, this is where you're gonna end up next season, you know. Adriana's got a new song coming out, and then it was like, and you know, now Julia, she's going to have like a new song coming out. And the way that this reunion ends is with a performance of Ave Maria, Lars's favorite song. And she loves that song. And you know what? It's shit like that where she's just like, he starts singing opera, Ave Maria. And she's like, I love this song. It's like.
Do you want to know what's the best thing about that? Earlier on, Andy had asked Adriana if he thought that Julia had a career in music, and Adriana took the long way around to drag Julia and her career, not knowing that Julia is going to be singing at the end and obviously releasing a song. And that is a gag.
Wow. I mean, not knowing that Julia was going to lip sync.
Well, she lip sync over the voice track because it's obviously... like, that's the version they're going to release because it turned into the full club mix, Ava Maria club mix. But
which is wild to me, but it's also very Miami.
So on par. But I just love that nobody, I 100% believe that Adriana did not know that was going to happen. And that's the best bit because she thinks she's the only singer. So to that point, I can see a feud and a bit of a disruption happening between Adriana and Julia.
Because again, right, and this is the wild world that my mind is in, right? So Julia has befriended Alexia. Julia has been calling out Adriana this season. Like, there is more and more compelling evidence for Adriana to now befriend Larsa and or Marisol, because that's just the mess that Adriana lives in. Can I just say, though, that Adriana is, like, 75 years old and she looks younger than I do. And I, like, I don't think we give her enough credit. We talked about Lisa, we talked about Larsa, but Adriana truly, like...
Hey, go back and listen to the very first episode that we talked about the new age of Miami. And the first thing that I talk about is how fucking hot Adriana is. I even say that she looks better now than she did then. I have given.
Absolutely. I know, but we need to do it every single time. I think I just wish her personality matched like her outsides.
So out of control. I want to also just say another thing that just makes this franchise a little bit unique is like they put Andy in the hot seat at one point. He was like, am I interviewing you or are you asking me the questions? Like this show.
Because he is unqualified.
But Miami, I think, you know, it came back after 10 years. It's really, you know, it had to do the hard yards on Peacock before they would even, this is its first season back on Bravo. And I think it has earned the slot of being like the premier franchise. If you're not watching Miami, you are missing out.
Well, and I know we shouldn't talk about the ratings, but the ratings are showing that people aren't watching Miami, which is wild.
Insane. And that's what I mean. Like, you need to be watching it. Yeah, I don't have anything else to say about Miami. I'm excited to talk about Beverly Hills reunion next week. Have you got anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think I do. I just, you know what? The one last thing I will say is, were you affronted by the fact that there was no coffee table at this reunion set?
I knew something was missing.
I don't know
What?
how I feel about the lack of coffee table.
Yeah, the lack of coffee table. I'm with you. I knew something was weird about it. Anyway, let's wrap up. Are you going to sing us out with Ava Maria or?
No, Moshi,
Oh, for the listeners, Patrizio just pulled out a microphone.
That's one of my favorite memes right now as well. There's been a few that have been like coming up recently. It's been a week since the reunion wrapped, but it's like the like, you know, just before the Zoom call ends and you like have one thing to say and like it's the Julia microphone moment and like
Like the way she pulled that microphone out with her fucking cape on and everything. It was hilarious. Anyway, good luck to Julia.
Well, Moshi, it's great to be back. We are going to do it all again next week. Consistency is key. Listeners, thank you for joining us. If you have thoughts about the Miami reunion, if you have things you'd like us to discuss next week for Beverly Hills, slide into the DMs at From the Lower Level Pod on the Instagrams. The stories are coming every now and again. There's been a few polls recently, I've noticed. Crystal, first seat at the reunion, we won. We absolutely did not.
So I'm behind on Beverly Hills, so hence why we're doing it next week. I'll get that joke. I'll get that reference.
As always, like, review, ring the bell, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mum. Don't tell our mums though. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Moshi.
Bye.